popular friends, lies and pass one on to you. Well, how do you think that I found out that Henry needs new shoes? But I'm convinced that she could find something better.
Welcome to another edition of Gossip Talking Blues from Great Dark Wonder. Hi, this is Martin.
And this is Leslie.
And today we have a special guest joining us to discuss a new upcoming album release. Let's go ahead and start with an earlier track from today's guest, Just For You.
So glorious, you could say it's bittersweet. The girl doesn't see what's looming down the road, thinks that excess bag is such a heavy load. I can see it in her eyes, she thinks I need a guide, but I'll get to where
heard Excess Baggage from M. Griner, which was the very first song that we had the good fortune of hearing from this particular artist, thanks to CBC Radio and Satellite Radio here in the US. And of course, we may have come late to this particular party that is the music of M. Griner, but better late than never, I say. And on that note, we are very, very excited here at Great Dark Wonder to have M. Griner joining us today for this episode of our Gossip Talking Blues podcast. M, welcome.
Hello.
So we'd like to spend a little time today discussing your upcoming release. You have the brand new album, Only of Earth, Days of Games, to talk with us today. Go ahead and introduce the album, tell us a little bit about the new material, and any notable inspirations behind the music here.
Well, this album is a little bit different from my other albums in that it is a soundtrack to a story which is written but not really written out for anyone to see or absorb. I kind of used the Ninth Wave, Kate Bush's sort of concept for Hounds of Love as a bit of a template. that, you know, music could be inspired by a story that isn't really out there for anyone to read yet, but it's basically a science fiction story. And I chose the genre of science fiction because it just sort of allows for more imagination and more dreaming. I didn't want to write, a memoir. And I say that because the story is based on personal experience, sort of all of the things that I've gone through in life. And I just think it's a little bit more interesting when you dress it up with characters and space exploration and, and a sort of post-apocalyptic scenario. So without going on too much about that, the songs are basically inspired by that story.
Okay. And it's from our understanding that this album is actually the first of a trilogy. You're going to have a set of three albums all based around this theme. Once we progress from Days of Games, what can we expect with those subsequent releases?
Well, the story is long enough that it makes sense for it to stretch out over three records. And there will be a book that accompanies each album. It's going to take a little bit of preparation to decide what that book looks like, but it'll most likely be an illustrated book, sort of in the vein of some of the books that Neil Gaiman has done that are slightly geared to a younger audience, but are also enjoyed by adults as well. So, I guess with the record, this Days of Games is the beginning of the story. So it's set on a farm in the future. And basically, this is the start of everything. You know, like there's a lot of kind of like an element of feeling carefree. And I think that that's reflected in a lot of the songs. And as the other albums come out, you know, it'll resemble the arc of what you would imagine a kind of a longer tale would be. You know, I expect the second one will be a little bit darker. Maybe it'll just be 100% prog rock. I'm not sure. So, but it's nice to know that those other two are coming. Because I think, you know, when you put out a record, it's sort of like a little bit anticlimactic because you put so much work into it and then it's out and then it's done. So this is more of a project as opposed to just an album or just a book or just a series of albums and books.
Well, having heard some of the tracks from the new album, we are certainly very impressed. We had the pleasure, of course, of hearing you perform the new track Shadow Girl in Forest, Ontario last fall. Let's focus on that one just for a second. I'd like to go ahead and play that one momentarily. But what can you tell us about Shadow Girl itself?
Well, there's two elements of that. There's sort of the musical element of Shadow Girl, which with this record, I really wanted to go back to all the sort of 80s music that I loved and also, you know, a little bit of the late 70s. And I really got interested in the collaborations that Mike Oldfield did with Maggie Riley. And I really wanted to do kind of a guitar vocal duet kind of a thing. So musically, it's really based on that. But in terms of the song itself, it's a little bit about, I guess independence. And that's a theme that runs through the whole record. Just that element of, you know, it's fine to kind of stand on your own, but there are times of loneliness with that as well. So that's sort of a little bit about Shadow Girl.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and play that tune right now, and we'll be right back shortly with more from M. Griner.
Girls gone through the ancient trees, rivers meet hearts that beat return to their beginnings. I hold you deep inside, floating on a wild wind sky. All your antics chase away the pain. Stay here in the garden, don't leave my lonely earth. I'll never love again, I am the shadow bird.
Back here at Gossip Talking Blues. Once again, we are honored to have Em Greiner here with us today chatting about the new album. So Em, this album is probably your most multi-dimensional to date. Tracks, for instance, like Comet's Call and Imagination will naturally appeal to the traditional fan base that you have. But you tapped into this idea of retro sounds, and those certainly grabbed my attention upon hearing the album. The synth-laden sounds of Blood Balloons and the superb stadium rock-sounding guitar solo in the passing of Iroh, I hope I got the pronunciation correct there.
But
that certainly introduced me to an edgier element of your signature sound. It almost had me reminiscing on material from Trapper. What can you tell us about either Blood Balloons or Passing of Iroh?
Well, I guess, you know, with both of those tracks, I suppose maybe I'll talk about The Passing of Iroh because it's the only real prog rocky kind of song on the record. And I would like to kind of explore more of that. Just like growing up, learning classical music, and then also having two older brothers that were into everything from like Yes and Genesis to Blue Oyster Cult and Def Leppard and all of that stuff. Like that influence kind of has seeped into some of my music, but it was nice to kind of try it out on this record. I think people kind of associate prog rock with like a male kind of thing. you know, changing time signatures or changing parts. But I wrote The Passing of Iroh completely on my own I think that the changes in it and that sort of unsettling kind of mood of it match what's going on in the story at that point, which is the death of a young child in the story. And that kind of symbolizes a lot of things without getting too far into it. Kind of symbolizes a death of innocence and a lot of other things that I think women go through when they, you know, have kids and or grow up or whatever. I mean, humans in general, not just women. But I guess men don't give birth to kids yet, but maybe in the future they will. But, you know, even if you become a parent and you're a male, you lose so much of your independence, you know. So sometimes I think you need like drums and guitars and a lot of that kind of instrumentation to communicate a feeling of frustration or disappointment or anger, I guess, maybe to some extent. But, you know, pretty much every feeling that you can imagine comes up as you get older and kind of take on more responsibility. So there's a lot mirroring like real life there, but it's also about that very dark point in the story. So with that one, I went to Winnipeg and I worked with a guy named Paul Yee, who, you know, the song you just heard, Shadow Girl, Greg Lowe played on that. And he was someone that I met over the past 2 years and a really talented Winnipeg musician. And he unfortunately passed away during the making of this record. And in a weird way, it drew me to Winnipeg, where Greg was from, and to kind of be around his peer group at times like his memorial and things like that. You know, I inevitably just ended up kind of talking with a lot of these people about music. And Paul Yee runs a studio called Stereo Bus in Winnipeg. And after the memorial, we just went to his studio and listened to some of the tracks that were in progress. Shadow Girl may have been one of them. And Paul Yee, in his own right, has done some amazing like jazz fusion stuff, right? Heavy rock. Like, he's one of the most talented musicians I know. And I felt like it'd be the right thing to make this particular song with him. So it's a little bit different from the other songs on the record. A little bit like, you know, different guitar tones. And we used a young drummer named Roman Clark, who's in a band called The Middle Coast. I didn't know Roman at all. And he's just like 21 and just, maybe he's older now, but he was 21 at the time. And just like to shred out those, you know, complicated drum parts and have it fit in with the record. It was really exciting for me. And I'd like to kind of explore that a little more, but there you go with that one.
Well, wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and share some of that frustration and that anger and that shredding with our listeners here at Great Dark Wonders Gossip Talking Blues. Here is M. Griner with The Passing of Iroh.
Should have walked you home. There's an ache in my chest. Oh, these days are raining like mercy.
Welcome back, and that was The Passing of Ira from M. Griner, who we are delighted to be talking to today. You've mentioned a couple of the really talented musicians that have worked on this album that you're just now releasing. Who are some of the other musicians that with whom you collaborated for this project, if you wouldn't mind telling us a bit about them?
Sure. There's quite a few, and with this record, I really kind of built it from musicians up. It wasn't a case of like, okay, here are these 3 or 4 minute songs, and let's just get people to play on top of what I've already written. It really was built from the ground up, and Tim Timlek played drums on all of the other songs. And he's just like this really like amazing musician in person, living in Toronto, kind of a best kept secret in a way, but he's done a lot of touring through his life. But he had just built a drum recording room in his house. So it was great, like just to kind of send him some tracks, and then he'd send back what he did. So I do feel like the feel of what he built really shaped this record. Like I hear these songs back and I can really hear his musicality in them. And for a drummer, sometimes you don't like associate drums with musicality, but he's really got that. There's a lot of other people, so I'll try to make it concise. But Steve Clark played bass on a song. He's a wonderful musician from London, Ontario. And Jeremy Little, I met him when I did the Celebrating David Bowie tribute concert in New York, which I kind of shied away from all those tributes, being sensitive to the death of Bowie. But that particular one was kind of curated by Gary Oldman and Mike Garson and a lot of people who were close to David. And there were, you know, the original band was at that show. So it was kind of a beautiful experience to be a part of. And Jeremy Little is this, well, he lives in Nashville now, but really talented producer, singer, songwriter. And we just hit it off, like talking about astronomy and, you know, space and music. And I kind of rolled the dice on doing some writing with him, and it really just made the record. Brad Canning from Stratford played guitar on a song. Kevin Barrett from Toronto, amazing jazz rock guitar player. Lindsay Schindler, who's in Trent Severin, she played on a few songs. And David Rhodes, who is one of my idols, he played on a couple of songs, and he duetted with me on a song. And Frank Griner, my brother, produced it. So that's always handy to have a producer in the family.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry if I forgot anyone, but it really is like a cornucopia of like musicians who I love. Oh, Leonard Shaw from Winnipeg played on, played sax on a song called Something Tells Me. And I deliberately kind of went after older musicians just because I feel like if you've been through the 70s or 80s, you're going to kind of pull that vibe off more authentically. And I think that that was a good tactic, if I must say so myself.
So you chose Imagination, I think, as the first single from the album. Is there a specific reason that you chose this particular song as sort of the first look that people have gotten, so to speak, in a hearing sort of sense for the project?
Yes, I think that it kind of embodies a more fun tone. And I think to start off this story, you know, it starts off with kids or adolescents playing games on the farm before any sort of difficulties arise. So that sense of being 14 or 15 is something I kind of relate to in terms of like, you know, I just bought a bass when I was 14 and I just like imagined that I could, you know, be in a band or, you know, make a living from music. That was my actual experience as a teenager. So just that idea that you can't really lose if you imagine something, it's always there in your mind. And I think when you're younger, you don't get the chance to go out and, you know, you can't leave your family home when you're 14, unless you're ready for a lot of challenges. So, just that sense of like, you know, being in your room and dreaming and listening to music and all of that. So I think it sets a kind of an upbeat tone for the record.
Turning to a slightly different topic, one of the ongoing conversations that we've had with a number of artists since we started doing the blog has been about various issues that are facing professional musicians, particularly in Canada, but not necessarily limited to Canada, making a living in this sort of digital age, you know, whether it's copyright, whether it's equity of pay for streaming content, labor mobility, all those sorts of issues that have really sort of popped up. It really come to a head in the last, I'd say, 5 or 10 years. Having been in the music business now for a while yourself, being fairly well established, do you have some ideas on what you think needs to change in order to make your livelihood and that of your peers more sustainable?
It's a good question. I've seen it change so much. You know, I was lucky to have an experience where I was on a major label for like the blink of an eye. I don't know that. I think it's different for everybody, but obviously the people who fight for musicians to be paid for things or songwriters or creators to be paid for things, I have great admiration for them. Unfortunately, I'm not like one of those people that kind of throws their hat in the ring to be an activist that way. A lot of my career has really been about survival. And what I've found to be the most important thing is just really connecting with fans. And so I've been grateful that I have, you know, people like you guys who come to shows, people who will help fund a record. And that kind of enables me, and it has enabled me for like 20 years to cut out the middleman and the sort of corporate world. So in some ways I'm a little bit blind to a lot of the problems, I guess, that everyone's talking about. I guess I've never really, you know, record sales have never really been a big deal to me, maybe personally, and I haven't really made my living that way. I make my living more from touring or just from other kind of music related opportunities. It's not to say that I think people shouldn't make money from selling records, but I think with everything changing so much, you kind of have to be prepared not to. So to me, I guess my biggest goal is just to nurture those fans and to continue that exchange, because it's not just me like asking people for money. It's like a real, like when someone pledges on one of my albums and they pledge for like a phone call, I get as much out of that phone call as they do. Like I come away like understanding that person better or just inspired in some way. So I guess for me, it's just a little bit different because I don't really play the games that everybody else does. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I do feel lucky I've been able to do it for so long this way.
Right. And I think, you know, you speak of survival and I think you balance a lot of different plates and juggle a lot of different things in any given time. You're not only a solo artist, you're also a member of Trent Severn. You're doing some radio work in London, and also you're a mom. So how do you fit everything in to what appears, at least from where we see it, a very hectic schedule and hectic life?
Yeah, that's a good question. It definitely can get overwhelming, but luckily everything kind of fits together like a puzzle, and it does take, you know, other people being really understanding to make it all work. And I think, yeah, I think everything works together to create a better product in each of those situations. You know, like if I wasn't doing music, I wouldn't be a great mom. And if I wasn't in Trent Severn, I just wouldn't have that really rich touring experience and those friendships with my bandmates. So yeah, I think it's just about asking for help, to be honest. Like I have my mom, who's like an incredible help to me. And it's just about sort of surrounding yourself with people who can help, to be honest.
And speaking of Trent Severn, you know, you've released a couple of new singles recently, and you guys will be touring with a string of shows over the next several months. How does that balance work in terms of your releasing and promoting a new album and also, you know, upholding several upcoming Trent Severn commitments? You know, it speaks to that need for balance again, but just how that works and how you manage those connections.
Yeah, well, that's a good question as well. And I think, you know, in the early days of doing music, you just kind of think, oh, I'm just going to make records and put them out and work really hard and that'll be it. But with Trent Severn, you know, it's a different kind of a project than my solo stuff. We really shine in a live environment, and we're constantly evolving. So not to say that I'm not doing that with my solo work, but when you're in a band, there's a real like ongoing checking in with each other that happens. you hold each other accountable. And that can be stressful, or it can be really amazing and like fruitful, you know, if you have the right people in your band. I really rolled the dice and I got super lucky with who I'm in a band with. And it's not easy. We have really intense conversations about like where all of our projects fit in. And you have to have those conversations with your bandmates or your band's not going to survive. So we really communicate. We work really hard to like have those conversations, and we're so much better for it. You know, like it's hard to be, you know, sometimes creative with other people, but if you make it work, like there's an amazing kind of payoff of just like, I don't know, collaboration. I do think we're better together than apart sometimes. And that's kind of like a really great thing. So I don't know, for anyone in a band out there, it's a big thing, like to be able to talk to your bandmates and have hard conversations. And, you know, people aren't going to be happy all the time, but you get to a place where you are happy, and then it shows in the music, I feel, you know?
Right. Absolutely. With that, I think we'd love to play a Trent Severn tune for folks. Do you have a particular one that you'd like to suggest that we include here?
Sure. Well, Save Me is kind of the song that is going around right now. And it's a little bit about, you know, the earth and how our relationship with the earth. So you can play Save Me.
Okay. That sounds great. Here is Save Me from Trent Severn. You can't take it with you.
You just heard Trent Seven's song there, Save Me, from their most recent Portage album. M. Griner, Lindsay Schindler, and Dana Manning have been putting out some fantastic folk music, and we strongly encourage you to check out those albums also. Let's just return briefly for the purpose of today's conversation to discuss Only of Earth and Days of Games. You did mention earlier, obviously, it's well known and well publicized of the relationships you've had professionally with the likes of the late David Bowie, etc. You were a part of his touring band and so forth. Returning to this new album, I must admit that I did detect some influence there during the opening seconds of the track Something Tells Me. There's a quick combination of keys and saxophone that had me thinking, Young Americans, Young Americans. At least that's my individual interpretation. That's a great duet, however, with David Rhodes, you mentioned earlier. What can you tell us about this collaboration and how did this one come about?
Sure. I guess, you know, when Greg Lowe passed away, it happened in the middle of the record, which was pretty shocking, I guess. His family and friends knew that he was ill, but not anyone else. So he had been playing on my songs for months. Ill, and I didn't know that. So, you know, I guess it just stopped me creatively because Greg was a real like energy for me for this record. Like I would even like a song called The Spark. I wrote it so that I could just hear him kind of go back to his Sabbath roots and stuff. So when someone so important to the project isn't around anymore, I guess my choice to approach David Rhodes came before I knew all of this, but I knew Greg couldn't play on anything anymore, but I didn't know why. So I guess in my disappointment, I just thought, well, who is my number one, like now, you know, who would I want to approach? And I loved all the Peter Gabriel stuff. And, I thought about David Rhodes, but I didn't know him. So my link to him was this guy, David Bottrell, who had worked with Peter Gabriel, and he's a Canadian. And through the magic of Facebook, I just asked David Bottrell, I was like, do you think that you could introduce me to him? And so then it just clicked. Like, a lot of these really accomplished people are so generous. And he just said yes. And so eventually I kind of was able to write this song, Imagination, which is one of the songs he played on. But later, I really loved a lot of David Rhodes' solo stuff as well. And he sings on it as well as played guitar. And like his voice, I feel like is not a lot of people know how rich and beautiful it is. So I wanted a track that kind of had a bit more community on it. Because again, it's at the early part of the story and there's a lot of interaction with people on this farm that I've dreamed up in my mind. So he represents, like a friend of the main character. So yeah, it may not have been his natural style to kind of sing like a young American's type of song, but he really pulled it off. And yeah, he brought a lot to that song. So yeah, just, you know, to have a hero on the record is a big deal.
Well, it is a wonderful track, and we'd like to go ahead now and share that one too. So here from M. Greiner and David Rhodes, here is the track Something Tells Me.
Thank you. region.
One day I'm gonna give my love to someone like you. We'll never get close enough. Yeah. Something tells me.
Oh, something tells me.
So that was Something Tells Me from M. Griner with David Rhodes. And we want to thank M so much, who either has the great fortune or misfortune, depending on her perspective, to be the very first interview for Gossip Talking Blues, the podcast from Great Dark Wonder. So thank you, M, so much for doing this, for giving of your time to talk with us about the album.
Well, thank you so much.
So just to close the podcast out, is there any song from your discography that you'd like us to play to close out this podcast?
Oh, gosh. I think maybe you could play a mission from the record, if you like.
And that, M, is a fantastic choice. So yeah, would have been my recommendation, too. So let's go ahead and play that. And once again, a big thanks to M. Griner for joining us here today. And from the new album, here is the track, The Mission.
Oh, my heart is not the sea as it was when my feet first touched the soil. Calm, it's calm, the reeds grow evermore over all the things I dreamed as a girl. Thank you.
This has been an episode of Gossip Talking Blues, the podcast from Great Dark Wonder. We encourage you to check out M. Griner's website and pre-order her album at mgriner.com. To see other interviews from Great Dark Wonder and to subscribe to this podcast, please visit our website at greatdarkwonder.com. Thanks for joining us, and catch us soon for more great Canadian music.